Well, good evening. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6, starting at verse 10. In the church Bible, you can find this on page 1347. 1347. Last week was, as we've been making our way through the armor of God, we talked about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Paul tells us. And we discussed how we need the sword of the Spirit for the battle, because the sword protects us from sin and the sword kills our sin. And so we need to be equipped to use the sword, and we need to actively employ the sword. Well, tonight, we get to the final aspect of the armor, which is all prayer. My son was commenting a few minutes ago on what kind of sermon title is all prayer. You may have thought the same thing, yet I trust it will become clearer to you as we read the text. But this is the final part of it. This is our last sermon in this series on the armor of God. As I mentioned last week, our plan next week in the afternoon is we're going to start a series going through Romans chapter 8, what some have referred to as the greatest chapter in the Bible. I'm hesitant to say one chapter is greater than another, but I do think it conveys that it's a very special part of Scripture, and I hope that it will be a great encouragement to us. The plan is to spend about 11 weeks in Romans chapter 8. Well, let's read now here in Ephesians, though, chapter 6. We'll start at verse 10, and we'll go to verse 18. Let's hear the Word of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We'll stop there at verse 18. May the Lord write His word on our hearts tonight. Well, as Christian made his journey in John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress, he came to a place called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And this valley, as you might imagine, was a terrifying place. In fact, the text helps us understand that it was a devilish place. It was a dangerous place. It was not death itself, but it was a place where darkness prevailed. It was a place where Satan was active, where Christian, the main character, could have been consumed and could have been kept from making it to the celestial city, his final destination. And so this valley was a place where he was tempted. It was a place where he could have lost his assurance of salvation. It was a place where he could have fallen into great doubt and despair. But despite all these things, it was a place, like all the others in the story, that a Christian was able to successfully travail. Because we're told in the story, Bunyan tells us that as he made his way through the valley of the shadow of death, a Christian had a weapon unlike any other that kept him safe through the valley. And you might guess what that weapon was. It was the weapon Bunyan called all prayer. All prayer. And as you might guess, Bunyan got the idea for that weapon from this text here this evening in Ephesians 6, where Paul tells us to pray with all prayer. And because, as I trust we'll see this evening, prayer is our source of strength in the Christian life. And prayer ties everything we've seen in this series together. And so if you're looking at the outline, what I want us to see tonight as a conclusion to this series is be strong in the Lord and put on the whole armor of God. How? By praying with all prayer. By praying with all prayer. That's our main point tonight. Well, let's see first this evening, as we've seen in as our first point in all of the sermons in this series, that you need tonight all prayer to stand in the battle against evil. I keep reading every time we have a sermon in this series through the text up to the point that we're looking at. And so again tonight, we're reminded in Ephesians 6, Paul's listing the various pieces of armor that we have. And we've talked about them. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the boots of gospel peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Boys and girls, how many is that? That's six, right? There's six of them. Okay, and then after listing them, Paul concludes by saying, pray with all prayer. And one of the reasons he says that is because prayer is the way to put on the armor of God. Prayer is the way to put on the armor of God. Matthew Henry says, prayer must buckle on all the other parts of our Christian armor. All right, so prayer is not necessarily a piece of the armor. Paul doesn't say that prayer is, another sword or a different kind of weapon. But rather, he's putting it at the end because prayer is how we put on the armor. First and foremost, of course, prayer is how we come to possess the armor so that we can put it on. For instance, if we want to have the breastplate of Christ's righteousness to protect us, we first have to pray and receive Christ's salvation. Because without salvation, there is no breastplate of righteousness for us to put on. What's more, prayer is the way to wear the armor of God. So prayer is not only how we come to possess the armor of God, it's also how we come to benefit from the armor of God. And so that we're protected by it, so that we're helped by it in the battle. In his commentary, Ian Duguid compares the armor to a fighter jet. You boys might like this. With all of its guns and with all of its missiles, a fighter jet is a formidable weapon. Right? But if a fighter jet loses electrical power and it can't shoot the guns and it can't shoot the missiles and these other types of things, it's not entirely worthless, but it loses a lot of its value. It's not as powerful and dangerous as it could be without the power. Similarly, Duguid says, while the armor of God is a formidable defense system for the Christian, it needs power to shoot the guns and to launch the missiles, if you will. And that's what prayer is. Right? Prayer is what employs the firepower of the armor. Prayer is what makes the armor such a mighty weapon for us. And so Duguid says, it is not enough simply to put on the armor. There will be no powerful reality to your walk with God unless you are in intimate contact with your Heavenly Father. And so when you think of it that way, what Paul is telling us is that prayer is what enables us to be protected by biblical doctrine and godly sincerity, the belt of truth. Right? Prayer is what enables you to rest in the righteousness of Christ and in the peace you have with God through the gospel. Prayer is what enables you to live by faith, taking up the shield. Prayer is what enables you to look forward to heaven and have that hope of the helmet of salvation. Prayer is what enables you to kill sin in your life by the Word of God. Right? You'll be able to do these things more and more as you live in prayer with God. Not only that, you'll be able to do these things more and more as you pray about them particularly and ask God to protect you with the various pieces of armor. Right? So we're to pray with all prayer because it's the way to put on the armor of God. And with it, we're to pray with all prayer because it's the way to be strong in the Lord. It's the way to be strong in the Lord. Remember, going back to the beginning of the text, Paul says, since we wrestle against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness, verse 12, we are to be strong in the Lord, verse 10. How are we to do that? Paul gives us the answer. And the answer is verses 13 to 17, put on all the pieces of armor as well as then, verse 18, pray with all prayer. Right? Be strong in the Lord, in other words. How? By praying with all prayer. And of course, the scriptures make that clear for us throughout, do they not? That's telling us that prayer is the way to have strength and power from God. I'm going to give you just a handful of examples. The Bible says prayer is the way to be at peace instead of anxious. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Prayer is the way to resist temptation instead of succumb to it. Matthew 26, 41. Prayer is the way to find grace to help you in your time of need. Hebrews 4, 16. Prayer is the way to have wisdom so that you can endure trials. James 1, 5. It's the way to have boldness in the face of persecution. Acts 4, 31. Of course, it's the way to have more and more of the Holy Spirit. Luke 11, 13. That's just a few examples, but this is why Paul says here, pray with all prayer, because prayer is overwhelmingly the way to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, so that you don't listen to Satan, but you do live for God. And so with that in mind, then, we see that prayer is the way to stand in the battle against evil. Matt Kingswood, another RP pastor, I think, puts it well when he says, the best way for Christians to stand is to spend more time on our knees. It's ironic, but it's exactly right. The best way for Christians to stand is to spend more time on our knees. And if you think about it, is that not exactly how Jesus stood in the battle years ago? Speaking of his sufferings, Psalm 109, verses 3 and 4, we read, they also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. In return for my love, they are my accusers, but I give myself to prayer. And that's talking about Christ. That's exactly what Christ did. We're told repeatedly in the Gospels, Christ went up to the mountain to pray. We're told that he went into the Garden of Gethsemane to do what? To pray. Jesus was certainly a man of prayer. And as a result, we're to see Jesus was a victorious Savior for us. In fact, Jesus continues to be a man of prayer for us in heaven today. Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And Jesus never stops praying for those who believe in him. And that's our ultimate safety. That's our victory in the battle against evil. But you see, that's also then what makes our prayers effective in the battle as well. And so, as we've been saying throughout this series, if we want to look down at the enemy in triumph rather than look up at the enemy in defeat, what do we need to do? Paul says, pray. Pray with all prayer. And before we move on to our second point, I want you to notice here that Paul says that all prayer is first and foremost prayer in the Spirit. It is prayer in the Spirit. And that's brought out for us here in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In other words, it's not just any kind of prayer that he has in mind. It's not just any person's prayer that he's talking about. Right? He's talking about the prayer of a person who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, right? So a believer in Christ. And he's talking about the prayer of a person who is led by the Holy Spirit. Right? So the believer in Christ who follows God's Word. Ian Duguid says, praying in the Spirit is not a mystical experience, but rather praying that is prompted and guided by the Holy Spirit. And so you might ask the question, well, how is a believer prompted and guided by the Holy Spirit? Well, what did Paul just say at the very end of verse 17? Right? By the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. And Sinclair Ferguson says, to pray in the Spirit is to be filled with the Spirit as we pray. This means submitting our mind, thoughts, will, and desires to be influenced and mastered by God's Word. To pray in the Spirit, in other words, is when a Christian prays in accordance with the Bible. Right? Letting our requests be shaped by what the Bible says. Right? The truths of the Bible, the commands of the Bible, the promises of the Bible, the warnings of the Bible. Or to put it differently, to pray in the Spirit is to pray with the sword of the Spirit in your hand. Or the Word of God open in your lap. And so as Paul says in verse 18, this is what we're to do in the battle. If we're to stand, we're to pray with all prayer. Because all prayer gives us the armor of God. And all prayer gives us the strength of God. And all prayer, let us not forget, is by definition prayer in the Spirit. So that's our source of power. But there's more to it. And this brings us to our second point on the outline, where we need to understand that all prayer is all kinds of prayer and praying at all times. In verse 18, if you look closely, Paul uses four alls to make his point. He says we are to pray always with all prayer, with all perseverance, and for all saints. And so this is why I've called it all prayer. Right? And so we'll consider the first two alls in this point, and we'll come to the second alls in the next point. And so first, let us see here that all prayer is all kinds of prayer. This is what Paul means when he says to pray with all prayer and supplication. He's really giving us the A to Z of prayer, or the range of prayer is what's in his mind. Or as I put here, and I think some other English Bibles put it, all kinds of prayer. And Matthew Henry puts it this way, that we must pray with all prayer and supplication with all kinds of prayer. This is how he defines it. Public, private, and secret, social, and solitary, solemn, and sudden. With all the parts of prayer, confession of sin, petition for mercy, and thanksgivings for favors received. When I was a younger Christian, I learned the acronym ACTS for prayer. I'm sure many of you know this as well. It stands for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication. Yeah, it's a helpful tool because when you pray, right, it's easy. If you're like most people, if you're like me, we just normally go straight to the supplication. Lord, here's everything I need. Please meet it and provide it for me. And that's great, right? There is a place for that. But there's a lot more to prayer the Bible teaches us. And so Acts helps us to remember to spend some time in prayer adoring God, right? Praising Him for His character, praising Him for His works. Right, but also confessing our sin to God. Right, acknowledging in His presence our moral failures and seeking His forgiveness. As well as thanking God. Right, using prayer to express our gratitude for His promises, for His salvation, for everything that He's given to us. And then, of course, supplicate God. Right, make your requests known and your petitions known to Him. That's a command that the Lord gives to us. So again, we tend to focus most on our requests. That's important. The Bible says there's more to prayer. And so ACTS is a helpful acronym. It holds us accountable so that we include all the parts of prayer in our prayers. Well, Paul doesn't use the acronym here, but this is what he's talking about. And this is what he has in mind. The kind of prayer that protects you and strengthens you in the battle is varied prayer. Right? It's prayer that includes your requests for strength, for comfort, and so forth. But it's prayer that includes worship. It's prayer that includes repentance. It's prayer that includes gratitude. Because all the parts of prayer are important, not just some. In addition, as Henry brings out, all the ways to pray are important. And so Matthew Henry said this, right? We need private prayer in our closet before the Lord. We also need public prayer in our worship on the Lord's Day. We need stated times for prayer, like our morning devotions, as well as spontaneous prayers, like the short ones you send up to God throughout your day. What's more, we could say you need prayers for the small things of life. You need prayers for the big things of life. You need prayers for your physical needs. You need prayers for your spiritual needs. You need promise-filled prayers as well as commandment-driven prayers. You need prayers for what you think you need, and you need prayers for what God says you need. And the list goes on. I trust you get the point. The point is you need all kinds of prayer to stand in the battle. And so I want to encourage you, use the acronym ACTS if that's helpful to you. But with that, study the prayers of the Bible and let them guide you in your prayers. Even use biblical prayers and make them your own. That is totally legitimate, right? We don't always have to have our own words for it. So the Psalms are good for that. The Lord's Prayer, of course, is given to be a pattern for our prayers. Many prayers of Paul in the epistles are very helpful, even in Ephesians. Ephesians 1, 15 to 23, Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. Right? There are also many good books out there to help you be varied in your prayers. Gordon Keddie's The Prayers of the Bible is one. I love The Valley of Vision. It's a great book of Puritan prayers. Yeah, but prioritize prayer in your personal life, in your family life, in your church life. Look for opportunities to pray. Make opportunities to pray. Take advantage of opportunities to pray. Listen to each other as they pray, so that you might learn. But the point is, we need to have all kinds of prayer. That requires attention. That requires some discipline. But then secondly, we see here that all prayer is praying at all times. So it's all kinds of prayer, and it's praying at all times. And that's what Paul means here at the beginning of verse 18 when he says, praying always. Now, not that prayer is the only thing we are to do in life. Of course, God has given us many other responsibilities, and we are to fulfill them. But what he means here is that we're to pray on all occasions. And so to pray always, in other words, is to pray when you're scared. It's to pray when you're depressed. It's to pray when you're filled with doubt. To pray always is to pray when you feel weak, when you've just fallen into sin, and when you really want to throw in the towel. At the same time, to pray always is to pray when you feel strong. To pray when things are going well. To pray when you've just obeyed God. It's to pray when you feel close to God. It's to pray when you're on fire for God. It's to pray when you feel full of love for God. Right? So to pray always is to pray when you're in need, but it's also to pray when you're in plenty. It's to pray when you're tired, and it's to pray when you're rested. It's to pray when you're at home and when you're at work. It's to pray in all the seasons of life and in all the circumstances of life. It's to pray at all times. And praying at all times also means you pray throughout the day. Right, so you pray in your quiet time, but you also pray in your car. Pray while you're doing your homework. You pray while you put the kids to bed. You pray in the moment of temptation. Right? To pray always is to pray regularly. Right? Not saving everything for one conversation with God, but having a constant conversation with God. So one author reminded me this week, this is how children talk to their parents, isn't it? Right? They don't pack everything into a 30-minute conversation once a day, and that's all the interaction they have with their parents, right? Not at all, right? They're talking to their parents all the time. Sometimes when the parents don't want them to be talking to them, the kids are still talking. They burst into the room when the door is shut. They come in, they interrupt, they call you, they text you, they come and find you. Because that's what a parent-child relationship is like. That child always wants to talk to mom and dad. It's one of regular, constant conversation. Well, likewise, the children of God should talk to their father like that. Frequently, familiarly. Not saving it all for one moment of the day, but having that conversation. Because if you think about it, we are in constant need of God's provision, and we have constant reason to give God thanks. And so this is what Paul means when he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Right? It's to have the mindset that's always looking to God, that's always relying upon God. It's to have an inclination towards God, like a compass is always pointing towards the pole. As one author says, to pray always is to live in an atmosphere of intimacy with God. Now, of course, that's not necessarily an easy thing to do. We've already acknowledged the list of things that we do have to do is a long list. But it's interesting, if you look throughout church history, some of the greatest people of prayer were also some of the busiest people in life. Moses, for example. Daniel, for example. Asa, King Asa. Martin Luther. Jesus himself. Right? They all had busy schedules, to say the least, but they were all men of prayer. Because the thing we have to remember, this is convicting to me as I'm sure it's convicting to you, busyness is never the issue. Priority is always the issue. Busyness is never the issue. Priority is always the issue. Walter Chantry puts it this way. He says, "It is not that we are too busy to pray, but that the flesh is still too insistent on satisfaction." That's spot on, in my opinion. And as we saw this morning, we tend to prioritize the satisfaction of our flesh way more than seeking the Lord in prayer. And so self-denial is needed if we're ever to pray at all times. We have to be willing to say no to what we want, and we should be willing to say no to what we want, because all prayer, which is praying always, Paul says, is essential for standing in the battle. We need the protection that prayer can afford us in its fullness. And so many of us pray. The question is, do we always pray with all prayer? All prayer is all kinds of prayer. It's prayer at all times. And then thirdly and finally on the outline, let's go on to see that all prayer is praying with all perseverance and praying for all saints. These are the other two alls that Paul speaks of in verse 18. So first, let's see here. We are to pray with all perseverance, meaning we are to endure and not give up on prayer. Right, we're to persevere in prayer in general, the job of prayer, if you want to think of it that way, as well as persevere in particular prayer requests. Because the fact of the matter is, and we know this all too well, it is quite easy and it is always tempting to give up on prayer, at least to one degree or another. I've said before, and I still believe to this very moment, that prayer is one of the absolute hardest things God calls us to do. It can be exhausting. It can be boring, if we're frank. It can seem to be useless. And so that's why I am often slow to pray and can give in to almost any excuse not to pray. Even as a pastor, I experience that. This is why if you've gone to my office, I have put up a picture right by my desk of my favorite quotation from my favorite theologian, J.C. Ryle. No time spent is so well spent as that which we spend upon our knees. And every day, throughout the day, I'm constantly looking over and I'm seeing it. And what is J.C. Ryle, my good friend, saying to me? Adam, keep praying. Keep praying. Don't think you can do this on your own strength, because you can't. Right? No time is so well spent in every day as that which we spend upon our knees. I need that reminder. Our sinful flesh does us no favors when it comes to prayer. Being depraved, being lazy, our flesh would have us do anything but pray. Satan, of course, makes it very hard to pray. I heard one pastor say, the devil diverts, the devil distracts, and the devil discourages when it comes to prayer. And he does that by reminding us of all the other things we need to do when it's our time to pray, or all the other things we would rather be doing when it's time for prayer. He also does that by bringing ungodly thoughts into our direction. He tries to convince us of the futility of prayer. Adam, haven't you been praying that for a year? Why are you still doing this? Clearly, God does not care. That's the lie he likes to tell us. Or he reminds us how bad we are at praying. If only we could hear ourselves, why would God even want to hear it? Oddly enough, the devil does this because he knows how important it is to pray way more than we do. Otherwise, he wouldn't care. But this is why he works so hard to keep us from it. So whether it's from our sinful flesh, whether it's from the devil himself, there's always going to be temptation to give up on prayer. And yet Paul says here, we cannot. All prayer, this powerful weapon, a part of it is all perseverance. If you remember from the Gospels, Jesus told a parable to make that point. He says, in this city, there's a certain judge. This judge does not care about God. This judge does not care about people. And yet, when the widow kept coming to his house over and over and over, saying, get justice for me, for my adversary, Jesus says in the story, the judge eventually gave in. Because while he didn't care about the woman, her persistence did win him over. Now, thankfully, unlike the judge, God does care about us. But the point remains. Jesus says in Luke 18:1, he spoke the parable. Why? So that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Right? We're to persevere. And to persevere, if you look at verse 18, Paul says we must be watchful to that end. Because watchfulness is the key to endurance. I was thinking of running a race this week. Not actually, just as I was studying this. Of what is it like to run a race? And given the distance of the race, of course, you need endurance. Right? If you're going to finish, you have to press on through the pain. You have to press on through the fatigue all the way to the end. But to do that, you also have to be alert. Right? You have to be looking out for the other runners who are on the track with you. You have to be alert to the obstacles on the road that may stop you or injure you. You have to be alert to what's going on in your own body. You can't just press on. You have to watch out. Otherwise, you may fall. You may fail to finish. So too, Paul says, we must be watchful if we are to persevere. We must be watchful to ensure that we persevere. And asking the question, am I pressing on in prayer? Or am I giving up on prayer? But also we must be watchful as we persevere, making sure nothing takes us out of the race. So we need to be on the lookout for Satan's traps and Satan's snares. We need to be on the lookout for our own laziness and our own apathy. We need to be on the lookout for anything and everything that would keep us from prayer. Things like the love of self, the love of pleasure, as we talked about this morning, so that we're not stopped by it. Sinclair Ferguson says, Christ is building his church on territory that has been occupied by an enemy. Alertness is always essential when living in a war zone. That's what we have to keep in mind. We must be watchful because we must persevere, and prayer with all perseverance is essential to wearing the armor and being strong in the Lord. And so to that end, let me encourage you, put to memory some of the promises of God regarding prayer. What does God say about how he hears prayer, how he uses prayer? I also encourage you, watch the people in your life who are prayer warriors. Right? Who are the people you know, even in this church, who are very faithful in praying? Watch them. Ask to pray with them. Right? So that you are spurred towards prayer by their example. Also, if you notice that there are things hindering you from prayer, good, bad, whatever it is, deal with them immediately. Right? Watch so that you'll persevere. To use the words of John Broadus, one may be a truly industrious man and yet poor in temporal things, but one cannot be a truly praying man and yet poor in spiritual things. Prayer will always benefit us. And then finally here, let's go on to see that we are to pray for all saints. This is the last thing Paul says in verse 18. This is the fourth aspect of all prayer. Yes, you're to pray for your enemies. Yes, you're to pray for the lost. But as we see here, you're especially to pray for the saints, right? For your fellow believers in Jesus Christ. And we see throughout the epistles, this is what Paul did constantly. And he's reminding the people where he says, I prayed for you. Even here in Ephesians, Paul says in chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And then he goes on from there to list the many requests that he made for them, because praying for the church is something God expects us to do. In fact, it is something we should naturally do because we are all members of the one body of Christ, or we are all brothers and sisters in the family of God. And that's what a family does. A family prays together. A family prays for each other. Right? We lift one another up in our prayers. We make requests on behalf of each other. We not only pray for our comfort and peace and strength, but we pray for your peace and comfort and your peace and comfort and strength. Because out of love, we want what is best for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Right? We want their physical and spiritual well-being. And of course, that's one of the reasons we should pray for all the saints. But it's also because we need one another. We need one another. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, 18 to 22. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Now, speaking here of us in the church, we're all different by God's design, but we're all needed. As Paul said earlier in 1 Corinthians 12, 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And so this is also why we are to pray for all saints and their spiritual well-being. It's because we need them to be holy so that we can be holy. We all have a part to play in the faith and in the obedience of one another. I can't grow in the ways that I need to grow if you're not growing in the ways that you need to grow, and vice versa. We all need one another in this. We cannot live the Christian life alone or to live it in the company of other believers, because as we experience each other's presence and love, and godliness and service, that's one of the ways that we are cared for and protected in the battle and strengthened to fight. It's one of the ways God works to make us strong and to keep us from evil. It's through the godly Christians he's put in our lives. And that's one among many reasons why Paul says we need to be strong in the battle, be praying for all the saints. So knowing we're in this great battle with sin and Satan, what are we to do? Well, we go back to the beginning. We are to be strong in the Lord. We are to put on the whole armor of God. And that's why Paul says in verse 18, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We need all prayer to stand in the battle against evil. And so as we conclude this series, be strong in the Lord and put on the armor of your God by praying with all prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this portion of your word. Lord, I know that I have learned much through our studies of it, and I pray that all of us have, and that it would continue to be useful for us. Lord, help us not to lose sight of the fact that we are in a great battle, a serious battle with a mighty foe who is far stronger than we are on our own. And help us to remember that you have given us your strength and you've given us this armor to put on. Lord, help us to keep thinking about what the armor is and how we can benefit from the armor. And Lord, help us to take heed to what you have shown us this evening, that we would pray always with all prayer. Thank you for this important part of the armor. May we apply it, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.